Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Blue Zones of Happiness by Dan Buettner explores why some places consistently produce happier people and how those advantages can be translated into everyday life. Building on Buettner's well-known Blue Zones research into longevity, the book shifts the focus from living longer to living better, using observed patterns from high well-being communities around the world. Rather than treating happiness as a private self-improvement project, it emphasizes how environment, culture, policy, and social connection shape mood and life satisfaction. Readers are guided through examples of locations associated with strong measures of contentment and meaning, and then shown how to apply the lessons at both personal and community levels. The overall message is practical and hopeful. Happiness is not only a trait or a mindset, but also a design problem, influenced by the choices we make about where we live, how we move, who we spend time with, and what our neighborhoods encourage us to do. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, happiness as a place-based advantage. A central idea is that happiness is strongly influenced by geography and the built environment, not just by personality or willpower. The book highlights how communities with high well-being tend to make the healthier, more social, and more meaningful choice the default option. That can include walkable streets that nudge daily movement, public spaces that invite casual interaction, and neighborhood layouts that reduce isolation. The point is not that a single perfect city exists, but that certain design features reliably correlate with better day-to-day mood and long-term satisfaction. Buettner's Blue Zones framing encourages readers to think in terms of systems. When your surroundings repeatedly cue connection, activity, and purpose, you spend less energy fighting friction and more time benefiting from supportive norms. This theme also reframes common happiness advice. Instead of focusing exclusively on gratitude journaling or positive thinking, the book argues for changing the context in which choices are made. Readers are prompted to evaluate their own environment and ask what it quietly rewards or discourages. By treating happiness as something you can engineer through place, the book opens practical paths that feel more sustainable than relying on constant self-control. Secondly, the power of social networks and belonging. Another major topic is how durable happiness grows from strong social ties and a sense of belonging. The book examines communities where friendships are frequent, multi-generational relationships are normal, and social rituals create regular opportunities to connect. Rather than portraying social life as optional enrichment, it presents it as foundational infrastructure for well-being. In the happiest places, people are more likely to see neighbors, meet friends in public spaces, and participate in shared traditions that reduce loneliness and provide identity. These networks also offer practical benefits like informal support during stress, accountability for healthy habits, and a shared sense of meaning. Buettner emphasizes that social connection is not merely about having many contacts, but about experiencing trust, reciprocity, and feeling known. The implication for readers is to design for connection, choose activities that meet regularly, cultivate a few dependable relationships, and create routines that bring you into contact with others without requiring elaborate planning. The book also suggests that communities can build belonging through events, clubs, and policies that encourage civic participation. By focusing on social architecture, it shows how happiness can become a collective outcome rather than a solitary pursuit. Thirdly, purpose, values, and everyday meaning. The book links happiness to purpose and the feeling that daily life matters. In high well-being places, people often experience roles that are clear and valued, whether through work, family responsibilities, volunteering, or community participation. Instead of framing meaning as a grand personal mission, the emphasis is on attainable, lived purpose, being needed, contributing, and having routines that align with shared values. This theme also highlights how culture shapes what people prioritize. When communities celebrate service, craftsmanship, or civic contribution, individuals gain more pathways to feel useful and respected. Buettner's approach suggests that meaning is reinforced by social feedback and daily structure, not just private reflection. For readers, the practical takeaway is to identify activities that create a sense of contribution and to schedule them in ways that are hard to skip. That might mean joining a group where your presence is counted on, mentoring someone, or taking on responsibilities that stretch you but also connect you. The book also implies that reducing the gap between values and behavior improves well-being because it lowers internal conflict. By making purpose tangible and social, this topic adds depth beyond simplistic happiness hacks. Fourthly, policies and public design that support well-being. Buettner brings attention to how policy and civic choices can raise or lower population happiness. The happiest communities tend to invest in elements that reduce daily stressors and widen access to healthy living. That can include safe cycling and walking infrastructure, public transportation that reduces commuting burden, parks and shared spaces, and planning that keeps essential services nearby. The book also explores how governance and culture can foster trust, fairness, and a sense of security, which are strongly related to well-being. This topic matters because it broadens the reader's lens from personal habits to civic levers. Even if an individual cannot instantly change a city, understanding these factors helps in choosing where to live, what to advocate for, and how to interpret personal happiness struggles that are actually environmental. The book's value here is its translation of research into actionable community ideas. Small interventions like improving sidewalks, hosting neighborhood gatherings, or supporting local third places can compound over time. It also underlines that happiness is not only a consumer product, but a public outcome shaped by shared decisions. This perspective encourages readers to see themselves as citizens who can influence conditions for themselves and others. Lastly, a practical blueprint for building your own happiness habitat, the book ultimately aims to help readers apply Blue Zone's insights by adjusting their personal environment and routines. Instead of promising instant transformation, it offers a blueprint mindset. Identify the cues around you, then redesign them so the good choice becomes the easy choice. That includes arranging life to encourage movement, building predictable social contact into the week, and choosing settings that reduce temptation toward unhealthy coping behaviors. The concept of a happiness habitat also involves selecting institutions and communities that match your needs, such as clubs, faith communities, volunteering organizations, or neighborhoods with active street life. Buettner's approach is practical because it treats happiness as the accumulation of small advantages, not a one-time breakthrough. It encourages experimentation with changes that are realistic, walking to errands, eating in ways that support steady energy, prioritizing sleep and daylight, and cultivating relationships through shared activities. The emphasis is on designing defaults and removing friction. Readers are invited to ask which parts of their environment drain them and which parts restore them, then to make incremental swaps. By combining personal habit design with community-minded thinking, this topic makes the book feel like a guide for both individual and shared improvement. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who feel that typical happiness advice is too focused on mindset and who want practical, evidence-informed ways to shape daily life. It will also appeal to community-minded people, city planners, educators, employers, and local leaders interested in how neighborhoods and policies influence well-being. The benefit to a reader's life is the shift from chasing happiness as a fleeting emotion to building conditions that reliably produce it, stronger relationships, more movement, less chronic stress, and a clearer sense of meaning. By emphasizing place, culture, and social infrastructure, it helps readers stop blaming themselves for problems that may be environmental, while still offering concrete steps they can take immediately. Compared with similar happiness books, the value is its Blue Zone's lens and its emphasis on designing defaults rather than relying on motivation alone. Many titles focus on individual psychology. This one highlights the powerful role of surroundings and offers a more durable, systems-oriented path. It is worth buying if you want a framework that connects personal habits, community design, and real-world examples into a coherent plan for improving well-being over the long term. If you would like to support Dan Buettner, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.